Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 12th of April, recording at 9:24 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, such as they are. A quiet day in stock markets. Asian markets mixed. Maybe a few more down slightly on the day due to the problems in Thailand, which did have a bigger fall, although it closed on the higher side of the day's range. The European stock markets closed mostly with modest gains. The Americas, again, a bit mixed. Wall Street closing with small gains, very small gains. And Brazil was down over 1%, 1.12% here today. It's had an awfully strong run recently. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds, bond prices a little bit firmer in the USA, a little bit weaker in Europe. Gasoline continued to rise. It's been quite strong recently, but crude oil's backed off 70 cents here to 84.22 as I speak. Precious metals, they'd been down and then up and then closed down on the day. I see, with the exception of palladium, which is the front runner, well, also platinum, they both experienced modest gains in here today, but silver's down a bit and gold is also somewhat lower. It's 11.55.30 as I speak. Had been as high as 11.70. I think that was in Asia time, though. Okay. Soft commodities, mostly a bit firmer. That includes the grain and bean complex. Slight rises. Okay, well, what's going on here overall? Well, for stock markets, it's been such a good run recently that a few people are holding their breath up here in the short term. India, for instance, which is by no means atypical of the strength that we've actually seen, has risen. Well, its bank shares, if not the Sensex, and I suspect they both have, risen for 9 consecutive weeks, or that's a slight exaggeration. As of today, they entered the 9th consecutive week of gains. I'm posting that chart of the Bombay Banks Index today, so you'll be able to see that, or you can check it out in the library any time on your own. It's been an extremely good performance. Everything, as so we have said consistently since these markets began to pick up in February following successful tests, for the most part, of their rising 200-day moving averages, has been consistent with a bull market advance. But it's become overbought. That hasn't been hugely serious because we had a lot of underlying trading from all the ranging consolidations and corrections that had actually occurred. So the rally's been well supported, but nevertheless, a lot of short-term technical overbought conditions exist. You can see that by going into the charting facility in the library and looking at the stochastics. Change the dates to whatever you want, but it's a short-term indicator, and it'll show this short-term overbought condition because we have seen such persistent rallies. Now, do we have the kind of euphoric accelerating blow-off rallies? Well, no. Not really. There are one or two, and not much more than that, indices in thin emerging markets that have seen near vertical rises. Turkey, I think, is one example of that sort of move. But the Ukraine was another. But for the most part, they've been just orderly, steady advances. And if you look at the daily charts, they show these little consistent staircase steps on the way up since those February reaction lows. Now, at some point, it's inevitable that one of two things happens. that, and I'll take the latter one first, these rallies lose upside momentum and go into some sort of consolidation reaction and consolidation phase. The $64,000 question is, do they accelerate up first? In other words, I talked about the orderly, consistent rises for most of these markets, and certainly for the major markets. Do they accelerate higher and get well and truly overextended, and then react in another correction? Well, I don't think that's likely to happen in the short term. It's probably going to happen at some point. But suffice it to say, for now, we do have these short-term overbought conditions, and therefore none of us should be surprised if markets do spill over into a modest reaction and consolidation. Is that an environment in which we should take a lot of profits? I don't think so. Not yet. That would seem premature to me, although I will repeat what I'm going to use as a mantra here in terms of tactics. If you're more concerned than I am, if you're more cautious than I am, for your own very good reasons, from what you know that perhaps I don't, to intuition, that if you're going to sell, the best time to do it is after a good rally. And we have certainly seen a good rally. So if you want to take profits, do it after a good rally. What I have often cautioned against, including back in February, was that I feel that the worst time to sell is when you have just experienced a correction in markets that are still to the left side of rising 200-day moving averages. In other words, they've tested the trend mean, which makes people more cautious, as you will recall back in February. But that's usually a buying opportunity, again, provided those moving averages are still rising for the majority of markets. In terms of the Wall Street leash effect, it's been highly positive. The China leash effect has been mildly positive over the last few weeks. Fuller money themes have done extremely well. So I couldn't I wouldn't argue with anyone who felt they'd done too well and wanted to take some profits, but I'm content to hold on to my positions here for the time being. But I'm a little reluctant to chase things higher. If I did chase anything higher, I think it would be a market that has underperformed, like Japan, that may well be coming right. All subject to the yen weakening, as we have said on many, many occasions. And to be sure that the yen weakens, I think we would need to see some more aggressive action by the Bank of Japan. Okay, what about the long-dated government bonds? Well, we've still got those U.S. 10-year treasuries under the psychological 4% level. I think that they will go above that level and possibly fairly soon. We do know that the central banks have said that they are phasing out some of their very accommodative, unusually accommodative monetary policies. That's not the same as tightening, but both the Bank of England and the Fed have been talking about ending quantitative easing. Would they come back and continue it if long-dated 10-year, for instance, government interest rates were starting to push up? Quite possibly, in my opinion. But we need to watch those markets, because at some point, I think yields will go from their current ranging patterns into and medium-term upward trends, and that will have implications for a number of markets. It might stimulate equities in the short term, as I've mentioned in the past, but will eventually become a headwind. But that's not a problem for today, nor is there any U.S. dollar problem for today. And incidentally, that's not behind the weakness in gold that we've seen today. The euro is up against the dollar. Sterling's up a fraction against the dollar. Well, the dollar is sort of mixed in here for the most part, mixed to on the defensive. So it wasn't a sell-off in stock markets because we haven't seen that today. So I just think there's a little bit of ennui in here. Markets are a little bit tired. I mentioned that for in terms of stock markets without using that word, but tired is the way the precious metals behaved in here today, with the exception of palladium and platinum, which are the core leaders. Overall, the major trends that we have identified and participated in, you and I, are still performing. And I'm holding on to my long positions, optimistic that we'll get another run on the upside in precious metals, and maintaining that the equity action is consistent with what I believe is a cyclical bull market. And on that note, I will wrap it up and say all the best to all of you.